Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Every day during the 2021 South Dakota legislative session, we bring you inside the rooms where policies that impact your life are being discussed and voted on. We call the segment In Their Own Words. Today, we bring you proceedings from the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. The committee has supported the Department of Health's request to keep certain restrictions regarding COVID-19 in place. Restrictions were agreed to during the emergency legislative session last year, but scheduled to sunset or automatically be removed this spring. Here's that conversation in their own words.
The first up is Senate Bill 3, which is an act to repeal certain sunset provisions regarding the contagious disease control and enforcement. So at this time, we'd take proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Kim Elsom-Risden, and I am here as a proponent of Senate Bill 3. And so what Senate Bill 3 does is it repeals a sunset clause that was put into place during your emergency session last session, where we came forward and asked the legislature to add COVID-19 and to the list of diseases where the department can seek judicial enforcement of a public health intervention order. And so, as many of you will remember, when we were talking about this, we were learning something new about COVID-19 every single day. I would tell you that's still the case. I also would tell you that when we were talking about this in March, I think when we talked about a sunset clause, I think we were all very hopeful that that would be effective and really meet the needs of people in our state. And unfortunately, what we know about COVID at this point is that it is not going away, and we are here to seek a repeal of that sunset clause to maintain the authority that we have today. So I just want to very briefly walk you through what this process looks like and what our experience has been relative to COVID in our state. So as many of you know, we have a process where when there's a positive COVID test conducted, that test has to be reported to the Department of Health. And so when we get those positive test results, we initiate an investigation and contact tracing process so that we can make sure that the person that has COVID understands, and gets the education that they need, and that they understand the need in this particular disease's case to isolate and stay away from others for a 10-day period. And we walk people through that process and answer any questions that they have. From there, we then notify close contacts of that individual so that they themselves can quarantine for a period of time. And again, those activities are meant to slow the spread of an infectious disease. We use the CDC guidelines for all of the work that we do. That is just, again, core public health function. Now, I am very proud to say that people do the right thing. We've had 100,000 cases, and we are very confident that when we're able to educate folks and make sure that they understand the importance of following through on those medical guidelines, that they do that. However, there are very certain situations where that doesn't happen. And in the case of COVID, there's been 10 circumstances where we have worked with individuals who have had a lot of barriers to compliance, and where the risk to the public is such that we've needed to issue a public health intervention order that I, as the Secretary of Health, have signed. So we've had 10 situations out of 100,000 cases where we've had to take that step. I think the reason we haven't had that many, again, is because people do the right thing, and we also work really, really hard to help them do the right thing. So a lot of good work gets to the point, before we get to the point of even considering one of these orders. The reason judicial enforcement is important is because if we issue a public health order and the person still will not comply, then we want to have a consequence for that, again, to protect the public health. This isn't done as a punitive thing. This is applied equally across the state and equally across our population, and it's used in the most extreme cases where we have evidence that a person has COVID-19, is actively infectious, and is not isolating and is putting other people at risk. And so when we've worked through every other process and we've issued a public health order and the person still won't comply, it's really important that we have the ability to enforce that And the enforcement for that would be seeking judicial enforcement. Now, I'm very proud to say as well that even in the 10 situations where it's been such an egregious situation that we've had to issue a public health order, we have not had to seek judicial enforcement. We continue to work with these people every single day, usually multiple times a day, to help them do what they need to do, stay safe, and keep others safe. And so, you know, I hope that this is something that I never have to come back to this committee and say we needed, but it's important that we have that in law in the event that we do, again, so that we can protect other people. So that's what this bill does. It removes the sunset clause. It adds COVID-19 to the code, along with MERS and SARS and other very serious diseases that if people aren't, again, keeping themselves safe, if they have them, they can really put other people at risk. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would ask the committee respectfully to pass Senate Bill 3 so that we can maintain this protection in our law and have the tools that we need to fight COVID in our state. And I'll be happy to stand by for questions.
Thank you. Additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 3. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 3? Any opponents that would like to testify? Seeing none, we'll skip rebuttal and we'll move right into committee questions and or action. Go ahead. You're welcome to make a comment. Senator Tobin.
Thank you for bringing up this bill. I wanted to point out that COVID has a 1.7% case fatality rate. And some of these other diseases, like Ebola that is listed on here, has about a 50% case fatality rate, and MERS is 35%. So it is a little bit different than others on the list. And I really, as a nurse practitioner, believe in public health. Public health is best obtained through a trusting relationship with the public. And there's really two routes. It's trust in education or force. But I worry that if we don't have the trust, then us as doctors and nurse practitioners won't be able to even get our patients in to be tested because they'll be worried about ramifications. I think government overreach is something that we have to watch out for. And it can be, things can be put into place with the best of intentions. I see that it's been used 10 times. I think the Department of Health has done a wonderful job. But I would recommend that we streamline the process for diseases that are on the list with a higher case fatality rate and leave COVID to fall off the list as previously planned. So I will be voting no. Thank you.
Further discussions. Senator Curd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Secretary Molson Risden, if she would come forward. Question is, as the vaccination availability increases dramatically over the next several months, including the one-shot vaccines that are on the horizon, would you be supportive at a future point in actually repealing COVID from the list of communicable diseases that have judicial enforcement when the vaccination level gets to a certain level? Do you see that at some point that would be a possibility to remove it, understanding that it's only on the list as long as the legislature chooses to leave it there? And so it's a one-year period probably, sure. But I'd be interested in your comments about that and your thoughts.
Mr. Chair, thank you for that question. I guess I will just start by saying, you know, our understanding of COVID, and as you can't really pick up the newspaper today and not see something about a new strain of the virus. At this point, the new strains appear to be effectively dealt with the current vaccines, but that may not always be the case. And so while I would say we're always open to changes in the laws, I think it's very early to say we know the end of the we know when the COVID pandemic is going to end, because every prediction that we've had up to this point has not really borne out. For sure, if we get to a point within the scientific community where we can unequivocally say COVID does not pose a large public health risk, I think then absolutely We very much use these tools in an extremely judicious manner. I would also just point out that mortality is not the only reason you would use these tools. The reason the mortality rate relative to COVID is low is because we've seen so many thousands and thousands of people infected. So, and then when you start to really look at that data and think about, you know, 20% of people over age 80 dying from it, it means a little bit different thing than 1.7%. So it is a very serious disease, and at this point, we feel that this legislation gives us the tools that we need.
Still open for committee action?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Smith.
I move do pass on Senate Bill 3.
Got a motion. Is there a second? We've got a motion by Senator Smith, seconded by Senator Duval of do pass on Senate Bill 3. Discussion on that motion, Senator Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The fact that it has only been used 10 times in 100,000 cases shows that it's being done judiciously. And there's a certain level you have to rise to make that kind of call, and still have that person retain their rights, whoever. And I get that. The disease of our lifetime, we never thought we'd see anything like this, hoped we'd never see anything like this. And it's a moving target, COVID-19. I mean, you people live it every day. And we read about it, and we have friends, and we just hope that it doesn't mutate into something far more dangerous. And so I think the tool ought to be there because, a lot of people don't trust government. We know our neighbors in South Dakota. We know our elected officials, and I firmly believe that Department of Health will use it judiciously, and so I support it. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to close the comment section by stating that I support this bill. South Dakota is the poster child for respecting individual rights, and I think that what we've seen so far is a very cautious, judicious approach with this. And as Senator Curd pointed out, I think we have the opportunity as a legislature to make changes in the future if we see it necessary. With the advent and new strains coming out, I think it's important that we leave this tool in the toolbox. And I am trusting of our current folks that are administering it. So I urge your support of Senate Bill 3. With that, I'll ask our Secretary to call the roll. This is Senate Bill motion. To approve Senate Bill 3, which is to repeal certain sunset provisions regarding contagious disease control and enforcement.
Roll call vote passed 6-1, and Senate Bill 3 moves ahead to be considered by the entire Senate. You can hear the complete hearing testimony at SD.net and follow the South Dakota Legislature link in the meeting archives section.